Hey, this is Brian Tome, founding and senior pastor at Crossroads. Boy, when we started Crossroads 21 years ago, we would never imagine people like you would be all over the country in different environments experiencing God and connecting with Crossroads Digi. But you're here now. We're glad you're here. Let's get everybody in right now. Let's gather everybody in. Let's start turning the volume up and let's start getting ready to connect with God and each other right here, right now.
Hey there, it's Fear. Did you read that? Potatoes can be deadly? Think back to this morning. Oh, hash browns, I knew those were a bad idea. Were they sprouting? Sprouting hash browns can be deadly, dude. No wonder you've been sitting so long. Constipation, huh? Speaking of sitting, did you read that last headline that said sitting is the new smoking? Oh, holy crap, you're sitting down right now! There's over 77 million forms of bacteria and viruses in this bathroom!
Watch that flush. These industrial toilets will suck your intestines right out.
The whole world's sitting on a ticking bomb. The whole world's sitting on a ticking bomb. So keep your calm and carry on.
The whole world's
sitting on a ticking bomb. Question ain't if but when. The sea will mourn and the sky will fall, but some may never rise again. The silent war has begun. The staring down a loaded gun. No refuge found.
no other friend and savior.
Our new series called Fear is a Liar. You know that song that we sang at the beginning, you know, that's the whole world is sitting on a ticking bomb. I mean, how many times are you just waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? You're like, this is a powder keg. When I walk into that office, it's all gonna hit the fan, right? You know, this is kind of how we live. Facebook, bad news. CNN, bad news. The whole thing is just like, here's a little more to be afraid of. But you know, when we look at the God of the Bible, we see him saying, hey, I'm a good king. And I'm a good shepherd. Follow me. I want to lead you to good places. I want to lead you beside still waters and green open fields, you know, places of peace, places of rest, and where we can find out who we are. So that's what we're talking about in this series. So if this is your first time here, I just want to tell you, regardless of what you believe, you're in the right place to ask these kind of questions and explore what God says about who he is and who you are. We're going to kick our time off by singing together just a little bit. These songs are specifically our prayers set to music, and oftentimes things that God has said to us in Scripture. So this first song is just a prayer of being emboldened. It says, be strong, take courage, don't live in fear, that God's with us. So why don't you guys stand up, and we're going to jump into this.
Shouting and our words he'll hear. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia,
something very clear that bubbled up to the surface in terms of something that I fear. So for me, something that I have been struggling with is the fear of being alone or lonely or unmarried, to get more specific. I'm 36 and I'm single, and my life does not look the way I thought it would look at this point. And I have a lot of friends around me that I love, and they are moving into these awesome life stages, into marriage and motherhood, and I'm genuinely very excited for them. But as I look at them moving, I feel that weight even more, because I feel often at times like I'm stuck in this season. But I just recently heard a message, and the guy was talking about how when we are going through something difficult, often at times our first question to God is, you know, hey God, can you fix this? Why are you not fixing this? And that's okay for us to want some relief in that situation. But his challenge was, hey, what if our first response was, hey God, will you fix my heart? Will you fix my heart? And so I've been sitting in that recently, and it's been really healthy for me, because what it's revealed to me is that beneath that fear of being alone, there are deeper fears that God needs to deal with in my heart. There are fears of not being enough, or fears of not being one to be pursued. And those are heavy. And if I only focused on that situation of wanting to be married, I would miss that healing that I need, I desperately need, because marriage and babies won't fix that. And so what God has been showing me is that he wants to do some heart surgery, and I need to stop focusing on that fear, because he's so much bigger than that. And so as we sing this song, whatever that fear is for you, my encouragement is to push that aside and to not focus on that, to ask God to do some heart surgery on you. What is it that he wants to heal in your heart? So why don't you sing this with us?
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm a child.
child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
One more time, just with our voices.
God, thanks for this place where we can come from all different places in life and different understandings of who you are, and we can search for you, and we can find you. We can find you. So I ask that you'd see our steps into this place today as silent prayers of wanting to encounter you. Thanks, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for worshiping with us. You sounded awesome. Crossroads Anywhere, high fives to you guys too. Hey, let's make this big place feel a little bit smaller. And turn to somebody you don't yet know and introduce yourself. And if you're single, maybe get some digits.
Hey there, I'm David Linich. I live in Cleveland, Ohio on the east side in Shaker Heights. And we have over 30 people within our Crossroads Cleveland community.
We're from New Albany, Ohio, just outside of Columbus. We're part of a growing community of over 70 people in Columbus, Ohio.
My name's Jessica, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm connected to 15 to 20 people through Crossroads Anywhere.
We're the Coons family.
And we are part of the Rancho Cucamonga Crossroads Anywhere community. And we have about 6 people who do Crossroads Anywhere with us.
We're Alicia, Avery, and Matt Luce from Atlanta, Georgia.
And we're looking forward to expanding our Crossroads network in the Dirty South.
Thousands of people attend Crossroads every weekend from nearly every state in the country. Hey, my name's Matt Welty. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere, and we believe that church is a team sport. We know that we get the most out of following God and learning more about Him when we do it with other people. So we've made that easier than ever. You can go to crossroads.net/connect and add yourself to the map. That means that people can find you. They can know that you want to be a part of the team, and you can look around the area that you live and find people to attend Crossroads with. You might choose to be a host or find a host. That simply means that you're going to have your home be a place where people can gather around the weekend together. It's a really exciting thing, and we'll make it as easy as possible. We'll send you a kit and walk along that way with you. So head to crossroads.net/connect and get started today.
Hello, Crossroads. It's great to be with you today. Yes, and I do mean Crossroads. If you're here right now digitally, you are here. You're a part of Crossroads. You're experiencing God with us today. You know, there was a time, long, long time ago, when no one would have ever thought that you would actually want to buy stuff online. Believe it or not, that's the way it was. But now, we all know that most of us would rather buy stuff from Amazon than go to Walmart, though I still go to Walmart and it's helpful for me. And the same way with the church. There was a day when people were thought, oh, you can't be the church and be with other people digitally and actually have a meaningful spiritual experience. Oh, no, you can. It's only getting more and more important, more and more impressive, the things that God is doing through the digital environment. Here at Crossroads, we've got three layers of our presence. One is Crossroads Underwear. That's some of you right now. If you're in your underwear, welcome. You're a Crossroads Underwear. Please don't be taking any photos and sharing that, please. And Crossroads Underwear means you're able to be facilitated to have a spiritual experience through the screen, and it's just probably you or people you're comfortable with being in your underwear, which is hopefully your family. And you're sitting in your home, and you're experiencing things in a very, very safe way. I was getting some meds from my wife a couple weeks ago, who's on some stroke medication, real minor stuff. She'll probably go off it pretty soon. I told that story several weeks ago. I was in line at the local Walgreens, and a woman looked at me and said, hey, you're my pastor. I said, oh, really? Do you live in Oakley, which is an Oakley campus, where I go, which is the closest to my house? She said, oh, no, I stream it. She basically was saying to me, I stay at home in my underwear, though I don't know if she does or not, but she was basically describing Crossroads Underwear. She said, my daughter, or is it my son, has a tracheotomy, he's got some significant health issues, we don't feel like we can get out and do different stuff, and And what was she saying? She's saying, Crossroads is my church, and I'm connecting that way. That's powerful, and there's a place for Crossroads underwear. It's a very safe place for you to step into first. The second step is Crossroads Anywhere. It's where Crossroads can be anywhere through digital connection. It's where you go beyond being by yourself or just with people in your family in a house to being with others in a group setting, being with people around a coffee shop, being with other people and experiencing a service or experiencing a small group in your house, being at a school or in a park or wherever. It's where you go outside of yourself, where you can not just worship, but you worship with people, where you can not just be taught, but you get taught with people, where you can not just listen, but you actually talk to people, you encourage people, you build into people. Crossroads Anywhere is how that happens. And the third level is Crossroads Right Here. We actually thought Crossroads Anywhere would be sort of the ultimate place where people would land at Crossroads when you're not in a brick and mortar site. And we found that some of our Crossroads Anywhere places, as they're increasing, such as in Dayton, where I was this last week, people are saying, no, I want a Crossroads Right Here. I want to get to a place where there is a place where I can gather, and there's a sign that says Crossroads blank, Crossroads Phoenix, Crossroads Dayton, Crossroads something else. I want to be able to do that as a next step. And if that's what you want to do, that's what God's doing, that would be awesome, be great. I just went to Dayton last week to cast that vision and interact with them. Same thing with Columbus. Hey, if you have dozens of people that you're gathering together, I don't care where you are, I'll come see you. Dozens of people, I want to come and help you understand how to go to the next level. The way to do that is to go on the map. Go on the map, the connect map that was talked about earlier, and just raise your hand. Here I am, I want to be counted. I want to sign up, and I want people to know that I'm here. They can come to my place, or I can go to their place, or I want to enter into discussion. Go there right now. Be part of the movement. Don't just passively receive and watch. Be part of the movement. Another way you can be part of the movement is maybe make a pilgrimage to Cincinnati. In September, there is an Unpolished conference. Unpolished is for people who have started their own businesses or are going to start a new business, or maybe you're a change agent for the new in your current business. Unpolished about that. It's in September. Here's all the information right down here, and it's a great way to get fired up. This will be the third time we've done this. People from all over the country come to Cincinnati to have a day of inspiration, a day of workshops, and it'd be worth it for you to look into it, and we'd love to say hey to you. That's Unpolished. Great for all of us who are in business. Finally, now's the time we're gonna be able to be generous. Do you realize a crazy amount of generosity happened for you to be able to be a part of our church in this digital expression? We spend right now $550,000 a month on people writing code for this broadcast, for the Anywhere, or for the Crossroads app, for the Today thing that's on the app that we're about ready to blow out and to take the new levels. Before that, the last year, we were spending about $1 million a month. Yeah, this stuff is not cheap because you're important. We want to reach you. We want to bless you. We want to build into you. And we want you to be a part of us and enable us to bless and build into other people. So this is a great spiritual discipline for us to give. You can go and you can give at crossroads.net/give. Maybe set up a recurring gift. That would be awesome. Okay, here we go. Let's get on to what we're talking today. It's time to talk fear.
Fear looks like darkness to me. It's chaotic. It doesn't really make sense. Can feel like it's choking me sometimes. Lots of scribbles and swirls that really have no end. My biggest fear is that me or someone in my family will have a serious health problem. And I've had this fear pretty much ever since I can remember. Being a little girl, I'd watch our grandmother come into her home. She was sick and dying of emphysema, and watched a lot of nurses and oxygen tubes and cords and things in and out of our guest bedroom where she was staying. And it made me really fearful. In college, my friends and roommates would joke that I was a hypochondriac, and that fear stuck with me into marriage. And when my husband and I had our second child, I was diagnosed with postpartum depression.
And with my postpartum depression, I was so fearful that something was gonna happen to my little girls. I was afraid that I wouldn't be around to raise them or see them grow. It caused a lot of anxiety. It caused a lot of depression in my life. And it was just a really dark time. I'd been raised in a Christian home, going to church, but I definitely didn't have a relationship with God. The turning point for me was just asking God really bluntly to reveal himself to me. So it was kind of a last ditch effort for me because I just couldn't see the end of the darkness. God had orchestrated certain people in my life that were praying over me, that were introducing me to scripture, encouraging me to read the Bible, showing me God's promises, that he had hope for me and that he did love me. It brought light to the situation, and that's what got me through those really hard, fearful moments. And through that journey, we started adopting our third child, and then we adopted our fourth child. Things that I just couldn't even imagine that we would have the strength to do, that I would have the mindset to do. You know, I continue to have anxiety in different moments in my life. And so it can be frustrating, it can be debilitating, and I can really get down on myself and just be upset that I'm back in a fearful situation again, and I let myself do that. But really the important thing for me now, it's easier to cope with because I just take it straight to Jesus and ask him to renew my mind. Fear is a liar, and I know the truth. It's God's truth and his plan for my life. And I see hope, not fear.
It's really good and encouraging. Good and encouraging to see somebody who's coming to a new place. And that's what I want to do. We want to do this whole series. We want to bring us to a new place where fear isn't relevant. And if there's one thing I know about the vast, vast majority of us is that fear is a very relevant emotion and thought process for us. We do a thing every year called the All Church Journey, where we have small group materials for all of us to go through. We have at-home work to do on our customized app. We have a lot of different data points of what's happening inside of the lives of the average person at Crossroads. And far and away, the most overwhelming emotion that we identified as significant in our lives is fear. Fear, paranoia, concern. And today, this year is, we want to kill fear. Who wants to kill fear? Who wants to eliminate it out of our lives? All right, let's pray about that before I have anything else to say. God, I do believe you're good. I know you're good. And fear would tell us that you're not and that we're forgotten. We pray that we will remember you today, maybe come to see you and aspects of your character for the very first time, and that you would speak to us in a very clear way. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, we know America as the land of the free. I believe it's first and foremost the land of the fear. We have more fears in America than any history in the history of the world. We have more paranoias. We have more phobias. We have more anti-anxiety meds. We have more things and more fixations and concerns, arguably and verifiably, than any nation in the history of the world. And if America goes away someday, thousands of years in the future, and there's some anthropologists who team up with archaeologists who come and try to find out, what were these Americans like? Who were these people? And they would look for cultural artifacts to clue them in. They might go to our media. They might go to, like, Time Magazine, which I subscribed to. This last week, Time Magazine came, and here it was. Warning! We're not ready for the next pandemic. Look out, it's coming, you will die. Look out, it's coming. A mixture of the bubonic plague and measles and polio and jock itch all rolled up into one. It's coming your way. Do women get jock itch? I think it's a male downside, but that's not fun. But nonetheless, We have media that, and if you look at our media, if you look at the lead story, if you look at the, it leads with fear. Look out, what's happening? It's gonna come, it's gonna be bad. Look out, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, look out, you're young. You're gonna be the first generation that's not gonna be able to out-earn your parents, that's gonna be on welfare. Oh, look out. Bad stuff is happening. It happens all the time. Now, to be really, really clear, this is not a series about denying that hard stuff happens. This is not about saying, I'm happy, always gonna be happy, nothing bad gonna happen to me. No, there will be another plague someday. There will. It's just called human history. It's called life in a fallen world. But as we'll see in a moment, fixating on what could happen is wasted fear. It's wasted energy. It's wasted intellectual capital that we're spending on something that shouldn't happen. One of the reasons why we are increasingly fearful is we are increasingly believing that we are alone. I know we have all kinds of different spiritual orientations as a part of Crossroads. It's one of our strong suits. I love that. And I just think it's important for us to understand, if you believe that you are alone, if you believe that there is not a God who oversees you, if you believe there's not a God with an X factor to make a difference, you have every right to be more fearful because you are just dust blowing in the wind. You are just an insignificant piece of pollen that can be squashed at any moment. And the more you believe that there is a God that is loving, that is in control, that can subvert tragedy, the more able you will be to get a hold of and kill your fear. Psalm 23 is a classic psalm in the Bible. It comes out of the prayer book of King David. He would write these prayers, and they became most of the Psalms that we know in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. And before David was a king, a great king of the nation of Israel, he was a shepherd. Let's read Psalm 23. We'll look at this multiple times over the next 3 weeks. Let's just see what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and lie beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the place of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to break this down each week. We're going to look at the first section of this, and we have three choices. To kill fear, we have three choices. You can make these choices, and your decision on these choices will dictate the level of fear or the level of joy you'll have in your life. The first choice you can have is you can choose the shepherd or you can choose the liar. You can choose the shepherd or you can choose the liar. Here we see God likened to a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not the Lord is my slave driver. Not the Lord is my politician who has to keep getting reelected. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a God that wants to shepherd and take care of me. There's that, and there's also an entity who is a liar, an entity whose native tongue is fear, an enemy, the opposite of God. His name is, what could it be? His name could be Satan. That's good stuff. Let's thank our sound guy right there. Dan, good job. You nailed that one. Great job. He is known as the father of lies. He's the one who lies. The very beginning of the Bible, we see Adam and Eve, and they turn away from God. They take fruit, and they start eating fruit they shouldn't have eaten. And the whole time, Satan is lying. The whole time, he's, oh, you're not going to die. Come on now, you can eat it. God's just holding out on you. You're fine. Just munch away. He contradicts the nature of God and says the opposite things. You have to believe that there is an entity that wants you to not have a great life. You have to believe there is an entity who's opposed to a shepherd. And that entity's native tongue is fear. It's lying. It's going in the way that we shouldn't go. And therefore, we believe all kinds of things and feel all kinds of things that are not rooted in reality. They're rooted in evil. They're rooted in deception. One of the top fears of Americans shows up over and over again is terrorism. afraid that somebody is going to bomb us, or I'm going to be someplace where I'm going to be hurt by some extreme group that's un-American or something like that. And yet, the statistics are very clear. You have a 3,210 greater likelihood that you will be killed by a fellow American than by a terrorist. 3,210 more times likely. And yet we're fixated on something that really is not, is statistically virtually impossible. And it drives our behavior. It's like as soon as like we hear, oh, I better go buy some ammo, better go buy some guns, better go, because I'm afraid, very, very afraid. No, I'm not anti-ammo, I'm not anti-guns. I have some. I'm not anti that at all. I'm just asking us to evaluate. Perhaps the reason why we have so much guns is because we're so fearful, and some of us just shouldn't have any business having a gun because of our fear. I have a new friend of mine. I call him a new friend of mine. I just met him recently. He's a part of Crossroads in Central Kentucky. Interesting, fascinating guy. He owns the nation's second largest internet gun store. And he's had a number of different businesses in life. His last business was car washes. Car washes. And here's what he said. He said I could quote him because as we were talking, it was so fascinating. I'm like, dude, I have to include you in what I'm saying this weekend. He said, that's fine. So here's what he said. He said, when we had car washes, I could stand at the end and wave to people who were happy. I want people walking out of my shops with a smile. If you aren't going to feel that way coming out of my shop, I don't want you buying a gun. That fear can get you or someone else needlessly hurt. Like, ooh, if you're driven to do this because, you know, you're like, I'm very afraid. You're the wrong person to have this in front of. And yet we think that if I'm fearful, then something might be happening. I've got to prepare. No, we're being lied to. We're being lied to. The Statistician's Brain, a website, Statistician's Brain, talks about and studies what happens with the fears that you and I have had. How likely are they to have actually come true? Here's some of their findings. All of us, 60% of the things that you and I feared will never take place. Never. 30% of things feared that can happen in the past and can't be changed. So we're fearing something that's over and done. It's water under the dam. 90% of the things feared that are considered to be insignificant issues. I'm fearing a hangnail or something like that. Something that's no big deal. 88% of the things feared in relationship to health will not happen. That's huge. It's big, big, big. I know that for me, this is one of my things. I'm a pastor, so I get a lot of emails from people and interactions from people who've got something that's wrong with them physically, wanting me to pray for them. I'm always happy to do that. And also recognize that's one of the downsides of my job is I hear about more bad stuff than you do. I hear about more cancers, tumors, diseases. Like, ooh, never heard of that one. Never. So I'm constantly having in my brain, ooh, that's one. Ooh. And so all my brain is all these ideas of things that could go wrong with me, and I get a bit paranoid. So I go, oh no, my earlobe is throbbing. Man, I heard about a guy whose earlobe was throbbing. It was the early onset of dementia. Oh my gosh, am I getting dementia? Or did I already tell you that today? Did I tell you that already today? I can't remember if I. Go on, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. I don't have a genetic history of my dad's side of the family. I've never met my biological father, so I don't know. Do people die at 52? Like, boom. You know, does that happen? It's wasted energy. Things that I feared, you feared, they haven't happened. They aren't going to happen for the most part. Sharks. How many of us are freaked out when we go to the ocean about sharks? How many of us are like, ooh, how many of us have ever been bitten by a shark? How many of us have ever known somebody been bitten by a shark? How many of us have read headlines about somebody who got bit by a shark? You know? Sorry, you're worrying about something that is not going to happen to you, and you're and the liar, the father of lies, is having you fixate on sharks so you can't enjoy the beach. Birth of a child, you ask somebody who's expecting to say, hey, well, do you want a boy or do you want a girl? The common response is, it doesn't matter so long as, yeah, it's healthy. I know families that have a Down syndrome child, and that child is a blessing to their family, and their family's the better for it, and God uses that in a huge way. I admire those families and those parents greatly. Personally, I don't know how I would do if one of my children was born with Down syndrome. I'm not sure how well I would do. It was a fear of mine when we were having kids, right? So we had three kids, and every time Lib would pop out one of those kids, they'd be like, and I'd like have to take a few minutes, like, okay, everything long, okay, everything long, Okay, good, we're happy. Good, good, wonderful. And I went, gosh, I got robbed the first couple minutes of every birth because of a fear. John 8:44 says, when he lies, he speaks out of his character, for he is the liar and the father of lies. There is a father of lies that wants you to be afraid. And when you and I are afraid, we say to God, God, you're not real. You don't care about me. You don't love me. You're not really involved in my life. You're really not a shepherd. You're a watchmaker. You set the watch up, you wound it up, and then you stepped away from my life and all the world, and you're not in control at all. And if you have fears, you have to realize you have to do everything you can to come against the flow of society. There is a crushing pattern in this world that's making you paranoid, making you freaked out. That's why the book of Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, which is all about you and I feeling we're abandoned, feeling we're alone, feeling that there is an entity other than God that is more powerful. But we've got to transform, we've got to renew our mind. And that means we have to see God as a shepherd. We even see this world tells us that fear is a good thing. Of course, we don't want to believe that. We don't want to tell anybody that we're afraid. We know that's a sort of a sign of weakness. So we have other synonyms. I'm not afraid. I'm just a little stressed. No, you're fearful. No, I'm not afraid. I'm just a bit worried about. No, you're fearful. No, I'm not fearful. I'm just really conservative. No, you're fearful. I'm not fearful. I just have this inner nagging feeling. Now we start to make it spiritual. I just have this like inner nagging feeling. No, you're fearful. No, I'm not fearful. I just sense that God is kind of saying, whoa, now we're getting into the F-bomb before God. And when you start calling your fears the voice of God, oh my word, we start implicating him and actually calling Satan's work God's. And this is the normal course of this world, to have you and I operate in fear. Because if we operate in fear, we can't operate with God. So one choice you have to choose is, am I going to believe that there is a shepherd over my life, or am I going to believe in the liar because all these stats are not true? Number two, comforter or destroyer? Do I want to believe that there is a comforter in my life or a destroyer in my life? Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's just so comforting, isn't it? So soothing. Well, I think I want to get comforted right now. I wish I had grass instead of black plywood to be on. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, why would God make us, enable us to do this? It's because he's got things under control. It's because we're not dust blowing in the wind. He gives us the ability to take a break. One of the things the fear does is it causes us to be workaholics, causes us to never take any time off. God says, take one day out of seven. It's called the Sabbath. Take it off. Don't work. No work emails, no planning sessions, no phone calls. Take it off. And why can many of us not take a day off? Because we feel like the world crumbles if I'm not on, because no one else is watching out for me except for me. And if I take my foot off the accelerator, something bad is going to happen in my life. So we stay on instead of, man, there's a shepherd. He's got me covered for one day out of seven. At least he's got me covered. He covered me. It caused me to lie down beside still waters. And this is why we leave vacation days that were paid for, some of us, and we leave them on the books and we don't do them. It's why we don't have hobbies that are fun, because we're afraid to spend money on hobbies, because I got to put it all away for a rainy day, because I'm going to be penniless in a moment, instantaneously. Instead of seeing that God's a shepherd, that he comforts us, versus a destroyer who wants to take us out. Statistics show that if you and I focus on our fears, it will destroy us instead of comfort us. Sandy Lamott says this, those who showed the most fear had resting heart rates of 10 to 20 beats faster than the norm due to changes in a brain chemical that also acts as a brake to the inflammatory system. So when you and I are afraid, we are destroying our immunities, which is going to make it more likely that you will get sick and rendered helpless. When you and I have fear, our heart rate increases, And we only have so many ticks of the ticker to go. And so if you elevate your heart rate, if you elevate it and you take it up, you know, 20%, your heart's going to beat 20% less in the overall age of your life. You're going to lessen the lifespan that you and I have. In fact, in a 2013 study of what happened at the Boston Marathon bombing when there was a terrorist attack, which again is one of the big fears that we have, they studied what was the health effects if you were there when the bomb went off versus the health effects of you not being there and you tuning into all the media and social media coverage. And here's what they found. Repeated bombing-related media exposure was associated with higher acute stress than was direct exposure. In other words, you were healthier if you were there when the bomb went off than if you just watched the media about the bomb going off. You have more stress, more worked up over it if you weren't there than if you were there. That's the power of fear. That's the power of the liar. That's the power of the destroyer. This is just science. It's not preacher man getting off on Bible verses. This is science. You will have weakened immunity. You will get sick more often. You will have cardiovascular damage. You will have gastrointestinal issues with your fear. That's why we have phrases like scared, spitless. We have phrases like this. It's like, man, I'm scared. I got stuff backed up. No, yeah, that really happens. Decreased fertility. Infertility issues is a massive problem in America. And where did this come from? It came from out of nowhere. And one of the reasons for it is apparently one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons, one of the reasons for it is because as our fear has escalated, so has our infertility escalated. It does something to our chemicals, our reproductive organs, mental disease, clinical depression, all this stuff comes from our fears. They're not innocent little thought patterns we have. They destroy us, and they come from somebody who wants to lie to you and I. It's not real. It's not rational. John 10:10, Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly." See, there's a thief who wants to steal from you, and you've got to start taking this personal. Like, man, I'm tired of someone stealing my joy. I'm tired of someone increasing my paranoia. I know that there is a force that's trying to take me down, and I'm not going to choose that force. I want to choose Jesus, who is a shepherd. I have a good friend of mine who I've done vacations with. His name is Mark, and I've done some really cool ones. And Mark, I didn't notice it for several days in one of our trips, but some things that we would see, sightseeing thing, he would just sort of opt out, like, where's Mark? I can't find Mark. Sometimes we would go up to a lookout, and there'd be a railing, and I'd be up against the railing, looking out, seeing what's out there, right? And Mark would be sort of back here. And then finally, it dawned on us, man, Mark is he's got a fear of heights. And he said, yeah, I've got a fear of heights. It just kind of always freaked me out. And I shared this verse with him. I said, hey, man, you know, you're being stolen from right now. There is a force that wants you to not have a vacation, not have you get rested, not have you see really cool things. You need to take this personally. And I gave him a verse in the book of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He looked at that verse, read it over, and like, now he goes up places he never would have gone before because a shepherd who's comforted him has taken him to a new place. Now, I still think of, you know, if I'm here, I think he probably internally would still probably rather be here, but it's not crushing him. It's not altering his life anymore because there's a shepherd who's going. How many people do you know who've fallen off a cliff? No, that you know, not that you've read about, that you know personally who've fallen off of a cliff. I love when our church, our community overcomes the lies of fear. We did that pretty well last week because our culture tells us, don't be generous, don't go outside yourself because something bad could happen to you and you don't want to, you know, don't stretch yourself financially to somebody else. And I'm so glad we did last week. We sponsored kids in Bolivia and Nicaragua. Everyone who's sponsored is feeding a child up until they're 18 and educating them through Compassion International, one of the most respected organizations in the history of nonprofits in our country. Just great, great, great stuff. And last weekend for Compassion, when they've done that all over the world for decades and decades, we had the second largest number of sponsorships last weekend in their entire history of all churches, and only followed by their greatest weekend that was our church 2 years ago. So, you know, we have the best thing back to back. We did I think where it is right now is it was 2,634 kids. It's been inching up. I think we're about 2,700 kids are getting fed and educated for their whole childhood now. That's like, if you consider our Mason Site Auditorium in the northern part of Cincinnati, northern suburb of Cincinnati, it's got 2,200 seats in there, you know, two levels. And that's like every single one of those seats being taken up by a child and 400, 500 kids standing in line outside ready to get in. And it's because you overcame fear. Isn't that great? Fantastic. By the way, we'd love to have you on the team. You can still get over and bless some kids. You can go to that website if you weren't here last week and you want to get on the fun wagon. It's really, really good stuff. One of the things that we do here is we mobilize. We mobilize because God's a mobilizer. This is actually your third and final one I'll talk about today. You can choose to be a mobilizer, or you can choose to be an immobilizer. A mobilizer or an immobilizer. Psalm 23 says that God, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean that God does? God mobilizes us. He leads us. He takes us places. Shepherds don't sit there on a rock in a field looking at their iPhone. Shepherds know that there's a place that they have to take their sheep to, and they've been there and say, come on, come on, little doggy, come on, little, let's go over here where the nice green grass is and where the stream is. They mobilize, they move folks. And so what God does with your life and us is he doesn't have you hunker down where you are. Wherever you are right now, God wants to take you to a better place. He wants you to take you a new place. He wants to mobilize you. But fear will never mobilize you. Fear will just be like, oh no, I can't go anywhere. I can't go outside. It sucks you in concrete. It keeps you from having relationships with people who have a different skin color than you. It keeps you from knowing people who are of a different economics class than you. It keeps you from understanding people who have different spiritual beliefs than you have and actually having a relationship with them. It always just hunkers us down. It immobilizes us. But God mobilizes. He gets us to go to new places. So when I have a fear, I immediately ask myself, okay, I'm a little fearful here. Is there something that I can mobilize to do about this and then just forget about it? Just like move on with it, you know, forget about it. One of the fears that I have is, as I get older, been around Crossroads now for 21 years, started Crossroads 21 years ago with a group of people. I'm 51 now. As the whole church getting older? Because that's one of the signs of health. If everything is aging, 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 there's no vitality. There's no like, So we're always cognizant, leaning towards the next generation. And so it was interesting. We did our little clicker survey of all of our sites a couple weeks ago. We were all giving us information about how old we were, how long we've become to Crossroads, yada, yada, yada. It's kind of cool. Here's a couple of those screens if you weren't here. If you look at our ages from over the last 3 years, it really hasn't changed a lot. We've got a lot more older people, but in terms of a percentage, it's about the same because we just have thousands of more people at all age ranges over the last few years. Here's a median age of the last 15 years, you know, and you look at that, okay, keep doing the things that you want to do to stay young and just don't have it as a fear. Move on from it. Ladders. I don't like ladders. Motorcycles are dangerous. I know. It's why I do them. I like it. Ladders. I don't like ladders. I used to be a roofer. Been up on plenty, plenty of ladders. I know how to operate a ladder, but I know personally people who have gotten jacked up on ladders. I don't know anybody personally who's died that I've known from a motorcycle. But I do know personally people who have totally gotten jacked up on ladders. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not afraid of ladders. Like, oh no, a ladder. I'll just mobilize myself and say, I'm just gonna pay someone to do my own gutters from now on. Mobilize, it's not a big deal. I'm not gonna, I have the money to pay somebody to go do my gut. I move on from it. I don't think much about it. Lib, when she had her stroke several weeks ago that we've talked about, you know, I get that call of your wife had a stroke. She can't talk. She can't move. She's going to the hospital. In my brain, I go, okay. I go, stroke. In my brain, I'm going, okay, stroke. What do I know from my Rolodex of all the stroke people I've prayed for? No, okay. And what goes in there? Okay, I'm seeing wheelchairs. I'm seeing feeding tubes. I'm seeing altered speech patterns. I'm seeing drooling. I'm seeing all these things, right? That's what I'm seeing. So all of a sudden I realize, okay, I can be really feared about what this might look like tomorrow, but no, I don't think about that. I want to be mobilized. Say, I'm going to mobilize myself today to go to that hospital, pray for her, be a source of strength for my family, and I'll let tomorrow figure out whatever tomorrow it is. And I'm so glad I didn't spend time thinking about that first day, because none of that happened. None of it happened. You just mobilize yourself to what you can do and then forget about the rest. So here's another one. I call Lib right now. Lib has this cell phone condition. I don't know if you have it or not. It's very common in women where her phone only works for outgoing calls, not for incoming calls. It is maddening. Utterly maddening. I don't know if it's like across gender spectrum of all women, but I know for my wife, oh, so I call her, ring, 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 nothing. I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh, she's not answering her phone. Did she have another stroke? Is she passed out? Maybe she's getting outside the 3-hour window to have everything done. I started having a fear and I go, no. She's never answered her freaking phone. No, I said, this is just thing for us. I said, relax, look at reality. Still makes me mad, but nonetheless, I just put it in perspective. I could go on and on with stuff like this. Saving for the future. Are you going to have enough for the future? Man, I'm going to get downsized someday if you're in corporate America. Yes, you are. You're going to make less money someday. So, you know, you just figure out, or under God's wisdom, you figure out, okay, what percentage of whatever I make am I going to stick in an account someplace, and I'm just going to forget about it, and I'm not even going to open up the envelopes when they come every quarter. I've mobilized myself, and now I'm not going to have fear over this stuff. I've done what I can do, and I'm going to move on. John 10, 10 to 12, let's read it again. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come. You might have life. You might have it abundantly, because I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The evil one, the father of lies, will never lay down his life for you. Never. Your fears will never, ever help you, ever. And it's a lie if you think that your fears are going to help you. They will not. They will never help you. Hold it. They do not. But Jesus says, I'm not that way. I actually will lay down my life for you. I have laid down my life for you on a cross. I've died for you, and I comfort you on a day in, day out, ongoing basis. I know that you had a fear when you came in here. I know you probably had one that's been going through your mind even while I've been talking. We're going to have a little prayer experience right now to go before the shepherd and see if he comforts and mobilizes someplace else. I'm going to invite a couple of the members of the band to come out, and I'm also going to ask them, bring down the lights up here, because you don't need to look at me right now. I'm actually going to ask you to go ahead and close your eyes, and we just want to see if we can talk with God for a moment, or see if maybe he moves in our minds in some way. Let's close our time out with a few minutes of prayerfulness from the Good Shepherd. So God, as we sit here in this silence, as you direct our thoughts, we pray that you would reveal yourself as comforter, mobilizer, and as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Just see yourself lying down right now in a green, lush field. In fact, he makes you do it. He takes you there. He brought you here today for this purpose. See yourself lying down right now in that green pasture. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See still waters flowing over you and washing away your fears. See still waters, rushing waters, moving you to a new place of wholeness, of joy, of peace. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As you're in that green pasture, see that shepherd with his staff, with his rod, a tool of protection, standing guard over you, beating away your fears. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God not only protects you, he provides. He provides for, provider for you great food. He's provider for you great medicine. God, you are a shepherd. God, beat that fear into submission. Beat it. Take it away. Drown it. Fill us with your fear. With your fire and eliminate that fear. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
There's no other friend and savior. You are with me to the end. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer child of God. For you are with me, you are with me, you are with me to the end. There is no other friend and savior. You are with me.
Amen. Amen. Hey, let's walk out of here in joy today, man. Let's walk out of here with less fear. There's a shepherd who cares about you. Let him mobilize you. We'll see you next weekend. Bye now.